Hi, everyone. My name is Greg, and welcome back to the podcast, my first season. In this podcast, I interview people who worked in holiday slash ski resorts, hotels, and cruise ships, and we'll talk about their first season in the hospitality and tourism industry. My next guest and I have never worked together before, but I was a guest on his old show, the XGO Radio Hour. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone, please give it up for Mr. Hio Kirby. Hio, how are you, sir? Oh, here we go.
It's all good, man. How you doing?
So you have your own intro music, I see.
I'm an old radio guy. What do you want?
I know. So you know the drill. Well, today, actually, I want to talk to you really about your first season, because I only know a little bit of it, but I guess I want to know how your adventurous spirit started. And then if you could take us back to what year was it? Where were you working? What were you doing? And how did you find out about Club Med, if you wouldn't mind?
Well, I guess I can say that my mom and dad were travelers. I was working away as an iron worker, tree man. And at that time, my mom was like, we have to get you away from this. It's too dangerous for you. You're always on your own. And I would, she would travel with my grandmother to Club Med. So I believe it was Paradise Island. She writes me, back in the day, obviously no internet, right? She comes back and says, man, you know, Hio, I think I found a job for you. Just do this. She was always like trying to get me out of working like hard. And we got that interview. She put my resume in. I was like, I was just working in New York City at the time.
What year is this?
A resume. This is about 88, just going into 89. And she puts a resume in. I had no idea what she was doing. And she goes, Hio, you have an interview in Montreal with Club Med. Really? All right. She goes, come home. All right, I'll come home. So, you know, we meet at the old Hyatt Regency. You know where it is on Bonaventure Boulevard, yes. British House? Yes. The old Hyatt. So, you know, she brings me in. She goes, hey, yeah, just your name's in there. I had no idea. I was like, what, 21? I was drifting at 21, 22. And I walk into a room and here's John Shelley. Now, there was no interview with John Shelley. We immediately just clicked on Howard Stern at the time. We spoke for 20 minutes about Howard Stern. That was it. There was no like meeting, like how things are going to work. And after 20 minutes, I go, what's this job about? He goes, doesn't matter. Can you fly down to Florida on Monday? And I'm going like, what? Are you serious? I don't get this. He says, just don't worry about it. Just do what I'm telling you. So that was the story with John Shelley. There was no real interview. We just spoke for 20 minutes on Howard Stern.
Okay, one question, because I spoke to a GO in 92 who had to go to New York for his interview. So you're saying they sent someone to Montreal to interview you?
Yeah. Yeah, it was John Shelley.
Are you saying they sent you to Sandpiper?
Yeah, they just went like, go. They go like, you'll learn.
As what position?
As DJ. I just went, because at the time I was also doing like, we grew up in radio. Yeah, I knew music and stuff. I wasn't a great DJ. I just knew music. I didn't know how to mix, but I knew how to play music, like good music, you know. That was it.
Okay. So this is 88, 89. You're headed to Sandpiper. It's funny. Your mom said, you're working too hard, but she's literally sending in you to one of the hardest job with the longest hours with no days off there is. So I'm a little confused about that. Even as DJ, you still probably had to do other things on the animation team, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. 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 We did amazing. Well, this first season was probably the most amazing season because we had a mix of artists and engineers. We didn't know it at the time. We just got, you know, we got to know each other. And the most amazing season was building that Eiffel Tower. And we all somehow got together and this is like, okay, this is gonna happen. Was that amazing? Well, you saw the pictures, right?
Yes. But was that just for Bastille Day?
Yeah. We just went like, well, let's do it. Like I said, there was a Mike Robinson who we can't find to this day. He was the engineer. We called him Mike Bank. He was in the bank. And then of course, losing names now, our entertainment team. Well,
you know what they can say, if you could remember them, you weren't really there, right? Yeah, I guess you had a good
time. No, they were there.
You had a good time in the Piper, I guess.
Yeah, no, Gilbert Zuel was our chief of entertainment. Now he let us go. He let us go, and our chef de village was Olivier. You got me on the spot.
Sure, you only had 2 weeks to prepare for this, but yeah, I put you on the spot. Sure.
Jean-Luc Olivier.
Oh, okay.
He was very flamboyant, theatrics, and, you know, making things grand. So he allowed us.
Do you have any kind of, so you're thrown into a resort. You never really worked in a resort, never went to one on vacation. So did you get any kind of culture shock? Were you like, what the heck is going on here?
Well, let me see. My first day walking in was a weird thing. I was the first CEO to walk into a new village. Like, they were tired, right? And it was in Sandpiper. So I walk in and the woman were going like, all right, I got him first. I get him first. No, I get him first. I'm like, I didn't understand what was going on. Yeah. Am I supposed to tell that?
Well, you know, I do have an edit button, but wait, getting back to this new village, what do you mean by new village? Did Sandpiper just
like open? I walked in like a new kid, like just a kid going, here's my luggage. And I walk in to Sandpiper, like the gals are going, no, I have him first. No, I have him first. I thought it was a joke. And I realized it wasn't a joke.
Was it a family village then?
Yeah. Well, these are GOs now.
Okay. So, but the resort wasn't new. It had been open for a number of years already, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's normal. Even when, you know, I didn't know any better. I got sent to Turquoise and you could see, you know, people are kind of like divvying you up. I get what you're saying. I'm just curious about, do you recall the first GO you saw? Was it at the airport? When you got to the resort, or was it a GO at reception? Do you have any recollection of the first GO you saw?
No. It was just that they grabbed me at the airport and says, here, you're going here. I was like, all right. Now, mind you, I just got out of like New York City and I'm traveling. I traveled quite a bit prior and working in New York and Boston. So I was like, yeah, whatever. And all I remember is that one thing, walking into the bar and going, that was it. Yeah, that was it.
So you have a very unusual name. So I'm just curious, with your name on your badge, how many people didn't know how to pronounce it, or did they give you a nickname because they said?
No, I actually used Joel. I used Joel.
Joel, okay.
Yeah, because I got tired of using Hio, because every night I would sit at dinner. As you know, we would have to sit with everyone. And the whole night came to me not eating and explaining my name. I'm just going to use Joel so I don't have to explain it every night.
Now, for the people that don't know, so you are native.
Yeah.
And Hio is a native name. Did you ever encounter another native that worked for Clement?
Well, I mean, first of all, people from Mexico are native.
No, okay, well, okay, maybe you know the Montreal area. So right next to Montreal, there's a reservation. So I was just curious if you ever encountered someone from the same reservation as you in Clement that worked
there. There were a few. I have a friend of mine who worked only one season, but then she left. But she works in like healthcare. So okay. She did her thing. Yeah.
So you're on the animation team. Did you look around and say, you know, I want to do that instead? Or were you happy being on, you know, DJ being on the animation team?
Oh, no, I was. Well, here's the thing. We had lighting engineers that kept quitting. Quitting. So, you know, I was like that backup guy. Here's a story I'll tell you. We had three lighting engineers who thought it was too hard to work for Jean-Luc Olivero.
Were you doing elaborate shows or something?
Yes. Jean-Luc Olivero did elaborate shows. And I was just like, yeah, I don't care. I was like, a guy would quit. Three quits. But at that time, I would write everything down, what they did. I would go backstage, write everything down, how everything, every piece of show that Jean-Luc wanted, I would write it down in my own little book. Again, we had no internet or no ebooks or anything. I would just write it down. So the head of all North American lighting and sound engineering comes down, right? I was just like a fill-in, but I guess somehow Jean-Luc had him test. Well, you know, I'm sitting in a bar at like 10 in the morning, having an espresso with the chefs. You know, the French chefs always drink espresso. And he goes, all right, Joel, go backstage. You have cats tonight. It will take you 6 hours to do what I just done. I went, oh, yeah?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. It'll take you 6 hours to undo what I just did? Are you saying he sabotaged something?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
He did. All right.
Okay, so you go backstage and what do you find?
I everything was ripped out. Everything was ripped out in the patch base. I'm like, holy shit, this guy actually did it. Thank goodness I wrote everything down. And then I just plugged it back in. And 2 hours later, I'm sitting at a bar. He goes, what are you doing here? Stunned. he went, what the hell did you just do? He says, I'm not telling you. Says, you didn't tell me. I'm not telling you. And I had it ready. And as you know, cats is like a very, like, every light has to be specific, you know, for cats.
Yeah, unfortunately, I saw the movie. But I'm curious, what if you couldn't do it? Would he have essentially tanked the show that night if you couldn't pull this off?
Yeah, he wanted to. I don't know why he did it. I just was like, man, I just did it.
Wow. No, anyone else would have tanked that because, I mean, you had the presence of mind to write it down. First of all, I'd never heard of that kind of management technique. You got 6 hours, figure it out. What the? No wonder they quit. Okay.
I did it too. That's my iron working and tree working. And, you know, it's like a mental capacity. I didn't know it was. And in the end, Jean-Luc wanted me to go to Thailand. And I went like, damn, Jean-Luc, I don't want to go there.
Okay, this is really good so far. So did you learn any other, like, did you learn sound engineer when you were there too? Because did those guys keep quitting or did you do DJ lights?
No. I always had good sound engineers. It was just lighting guys. I'm going, you realize we used to light around the pool and I knew it was super dangerous. Remember the pool shows you can't do anymore?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I used to light those.
Yeah, with the fire, live fire, archery, yeah, arrows flinging by. Yeah.
But I used to light those. And I'd go like, I know, I would say, like, man, this is super dangerous. But I knew how to use duct tape.
So how long was your first season at Sandpiper? How long did you stay there for?
I stayed there for almost 11 months because Jean-Luc wanted me to go to Thailand. This is the only thing I'm telling you. Like, I go like, no, I'm not going. I'll go do like Paradise Island or whatever. I said, I don't feel like traveling. I got shit to do.
Yeah, any other geo from the North American zone would have killed to have gone to Thailand because, you know, as you know, when, you know, you got to stay, you got to get promoted to go out of the zone. But here you are, your second season, he's offering you to go to Phuket and you're saying no. Wow.
Yeah, I said no. Yeah. And he came down into Eleuthera to see me.
Okay, so they sent you to Eleuthera after.
Well, I went to Paradise Island. I just had the most horrible vibe there. I don't know.
So Paradise was your second season.
Yeah.
Did you request it or they sent you there?
They sent me there. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm not liking this place.
So did you have any problems in your first season working all those hours and no days?
Never. Okay. But those were the great, like, working. I think when I went to Paradise Island, I was like, man, this is lazy, you know, and I wasn't into it.
So did you I was just curious if you, if you struggled, like, did you have any problem eating dinner with the guests or crazy signs? Did you like all that? Did you not do any of that?
Okay, I'll tell you this. I was more into the family club because when I did the singles clubs, I've never been so harassed. A woman, when I say no to a woman, I was told, the chef says, no, you didn't do a good job. You said no to her. I'm like, oh, well. I mean, you can't say yes to everyone.
No,
right?
No, it was a different time back then.
Yeah, I didn't like singles clubs.
Did you have the time? I know you were very busy, but did you have the time to learn any, like, skills, like sports when you're in Sandpiper that you hadn't tried, like water ski, sailing? Did you have time to do any of that?
Oh, yeah, I did them all.
You did?
Yeah. I was the goofball on that. Yeah.
Which sport did you take to? Did you go golfing? I mean, which one did you like?
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, my final season, I learned how, well, I'm a golfer, first of all. So I always golfed. I loved Sandpiper just for the sake of golf. I did. Well, I did the circus thing, but I was always like an iron worker. And I always was like, man, these guys, they're only like up 25 feet and they're talking like you're afraid of stuff. All these circus guys, this isn't, So,
but you never had to wear tights when you were ironworking, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm not gonna bust the circus guys down, but, you know.
Well, yeah. How what was the average height that you were used to when you were ironworking?
600. Well, I do more now. I've done 1,000. I climbed 1,000 now.
Okay.
1,000 feet I've climbed.
That's pretty impressive. Okay. Was there anything about the first season you didn't like the Lage Village, or I don't know, 4 o'clock AM arrivals? You liked it all.
Okay. I loved it all. It was like it was just fun. To me, it wasn't a career. I knew it wasn't going to be a career, so I took advantage of everything.
So other than your, you know, the head of lighting and sound tanking your show, your cat show, do you have any like other memorable funny clean stories from that season you could share?
Funny cleans.
Yep. Something happened on the golf course or at an excursion, an arrival, you know, guest to the room. We got clean appropriate, mind you.
Okay, can I tell you a funny story, but it's not going to be like...
Oh, no, it has to be clean. We could move on. I have other questions. If you did like Crazy Signs, what were your favorite or top three?
Just hands up, it was so much easier.
Oh, yeah, that was your go-to? Yeah,
it was easy.
Okay.
You know why? Because it reminds me of my mom all the time.
Yeah, can we get back to her? Because I remember you telling me a Rock and Rio story where...
Oh, yeah.
Do you mind sharing this story? Because I think that's maybe where your adventurous spirit comes from. It would be okay to tell us that?
Yeah, sure. By this time, there's 5 kids in the family and we're all basically teenagers. You know, my mom and dad said, nah, we're not even getting babysitters for you. You guys take care of the house. We'll call you every week. They did, you know, like, but the thing is, we were like, fuck yeah, they gave us the house. And we partied like crazy, like they parties like crazy. And one night, I didn't even know where they were going. I don't think they didn't. My mom didn't know where she was going. They just went to Rio. They're staying at a hotel in Rio. And Rock in Rio was happening. Now, as you know, like we had no idea about internet, nothing. You know, it was just word of mouth. So one night, my mom calls me. She goes, what? She calls the family. But she goes, specifically, she goes, put he on the phone. I know, okay. This is to my sister, Robin. Put he on the phone. And my mom goes, Heo, I have your favorite band in the world right next to me. And before I can say anything, all I hear is like, oh, yeah, what's your favorite band? And I'm like, I'm going, like, Aerosmith? And he goes, no, this is Angus from AC/DC. And we have this conversation for about 3-4 minutes about bands and stuff like that. And he goes like, yeah, Aerosmith, great band.
Oh, man, I'm surprised he still talked to you after that one.
Okay. I know. I was just like, Mom, what did you do?
So your mom,
Angus and Malcolm would always go to her. And as they swam, they gave her their wallets to watch. Yeah.
Just that's pretty cool. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And then the Scorpions, Rod Stewart, the whole crew would come down to the pool.
Rod Stewart was in Rock and Rio.
Yeah, Rod Stewart was rocking. Yeah,
yeah. So when you were at Sandpiper, did you meet any musicians or actors while you were there? Did you have your own celebrity encounter at all?
Yeah, but I didn't bother them. I met Rosie O'Donnell. Short, but I wasn't like this Hollywood I need to like talk to you person. And there were a few people who just needed to get in. You know?
Okay.
I just was like, hey, Rosie. He goes, hey. That was it.
Okay. Woman, a few words. Okay.
Yeah. Because I knew, like, don't bother people. You know how it is? You don't bother people.
Were there any employers or managers that really stood out to you that first season in Sandpiper? I mean, besides the chief of village, do you recall any?
You mean just people?
Well, the employees, like any GOs. I mean, they didn't have to be a chief of service. I was just curious, were there any GOs that impressed you, like on your animation team or any of the other GO teams?
Well, you remember Big Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Big Paul started out. Yeah. He was Paul Langus. Yeah.
Do you recall who the chief of sport was there?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do, but
you can't cheat and go look it up on Facebook. Okay.
By the way, I will tell you the story. During the hurricane, I think it was turquoise came over, and all the big shots, like, they were wearing turquoise. It turns out that, well, like, I think it was Hammer's team.
Are you saying there was a hurricane coming and they moved you to turquoise? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no. Turquoise came to Sandpiper.
Oh, because of, was that Hurricane Andrew or something?
Yeah, something like that. So one of those hurricanes, right?
Okay, so the whole team comes over?
Yeah, the whole team came to Sam. So there were two teams in Sandpiper. I think Sammy was there. It was Hammer. I know Hammer. Hammer's the same age as me. The whole, like, super crew, they call themselves, right? Yeah.
Now, did they have to work, or were they on vacation?
Yeah, they were just partying. We're better partiers than you guys are. And we're like, we're iron workers. Yeah, we were like normal. We drank them out anyways. Says, yeah, you're going to beat us. It was one of the wildest weeks I think we ever had. Two GO teams together.
I never heard of that happen before.
Yeah. You never heard of it. Ask Cameron. Nope. He went to, I know, because he walked into the DJ booth. Oh, like, can I DJ? Sure, I don't care.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. We're all the same age.
So about how many seasons or years overall did you do in Club Med?
I did on and off. Well, I stopped in 95, but I used to get called by Mike Colton, you know Mike?
Yes.
So I would always like be on the couch and go, it would be like November and I'd get a phone call and they'd be like, hi, I have a plane ticket for you. It's at the airport. I need you to come down for a few months. He did that twice.
Okay, wait, but when you were in the resort, you never filled out the dream, like the top three villages you like to work at? You would just go home and wait for the call?
No, I was home working.
Okay.
I was home doing other things.
Okay, so you never lined one up right away like other GOs did. You just said, okay, I'll do my season. I'm going to go home. I'll start working. Yeah. And so when he called you, did you go both times? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Twice.
Where did he send you?
Twice in Eleuthera.
Well, I'd never been there, but people always talk about how beautiful that resort was. And
yeah. He would call and just, I need you to wake the team up. And if you ever spoke to Mike Coleman, that's the way he spoke.
So for those who don't know, he was a chief of village, correct?
Yeah, he was the best. I have to admit, he was the king of animation. He didn't care. He just wanted, his thing was make me laugh.
Okay. That's it. And did you?
Yeah. That's why I kept going. Kept calling me. I was like, all right, I guess I'll go now. Didn't do much for my relationships, but.
You know, November and from Montreal, yeah. I guess that's an easy call, right? should I stay here in minus 40 or pack my bathing suit and go to the beach? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think if you ever had gone to Eleuthera, I think this would have been your Australia. Because it was so, so beautiful.
Did you have a favorite? So was Eleuthera your magical? It was
always Eleuthera. I've been there like four times now. It's always Eleuthera.
That was your magical place, your magical season. It was.
Yeah, exactly. I've done Punta and we're on Paradise. Stopped off in Turquoise, but it wasn't. It was like, I want to be in Eleuthera.
Were you doing the same job in Eleuthera?
Yeah. It was easy.
I don't know. I mean, some animation teams worked pretty crazy hours there.
Yeah, but it was easy. I'm like, no big deal.
Was it hard to decide that 95, like the year 1995, that was your last season? Or did you think about it at all? Or was it just like, nah, I'll stop now?
No, I realized that I had my daughter Ainsley and I wasn't really paying attention. So
that'll do it. Okay.
Yeah. I had to come home.
No, that's okay. No, that's, most people don't know when to stop or if they made the right decision, but I think that's pretty clear, you know?
clear. It was clear. I was like, oh, shucks, I can't do this. Just for fun.
I mean, if you were a chief of village, you could have taken, you know, the whole family along, but
I had no intentions of ever going any higher. Well, you did, right? So
yeah, I worked my way up there.
So, and that's good for you.
No, it was fun.
Bad you didn't become like a chef de garage or entertainment, right?
I know, I'd still be there on the beach somewhere.
Are you still thinking you should be?
Well, you know what? Every now and then, well, when winter comes around, I always say, am I an idiot? You know, like it's only in winter. In summer, I don't think about it at all.
Yeah.
But winter was, you know, and every now and then I see a truck, like a Purelator truck, because that's how my tickets used to come. I'd see the Purelator truck and I was like a Pavlovian dog, because that meant I was going away again. So, so now when I see a Purelator truck, I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, but you're working now. Like you have a solid job, right?
Oh yeah.
Would you give it up for that?
No, not now. That's no.
See, old age.
You're probably making more money now. Okay.
Wisdom, isn't it wisdom?
Yes. But back then, you know, you probably thought I don't know what you were making. Do you remember what salary you were making in 88, 89? Was it 350?
500 a month.
What? What? Wait a minute. How can you make more than I? And I started at 94. I started at 450. Okay.
How much did you?
450. 450 in 1994. So
because I don't want to be like rubbing it in, but
here we go.
But since I'm dual citizenship Native American.
That's right.
I was going
to ask you, because you got sent to Sandpiper pretty quick. So I was going to ask you, did you have dual citizenship or work visa or place?
Okay. No, I just went like, don't bother me with your American stuff.
Were you the type of guy that spent all your money, or did you leave?
Spent it all every month.
So you were those guys that wound up owing money when you left, like to the Jesuits, like, come by the office later.
I believe I owed $100 when I left.
Oh, okay. That's not so bad. I've heard horror stories where it's, in a thousand or more.
But we knew how to, like our bartenders knew how to, because it was Sandpiper, we can go out and refill and it didn't matter. We drank everything.
Well, plus you're in civilization. You could go see a movie. You could go to a restaurant. You know, I mean, that's too much temptation, right? Like
we'd actually drink everything out of the bar, the jewel, and then we'd put our money in and go to the bar and fill it back up, like outside, buy whatever we drank and put it back in the bar. Yeah.
So what was it like in Sandpiper working your first Christmas and New Year's? Did you find either one hard because you're away from home, or was it hard?
It was, well, first of all, I don't celebrate Christmas or any holidays. I just brought up as a Jehovah's Witness. So it didn't matter to me.
Not even New Year's? New Year's was like any other day?
Yeah, any other day. Okay. You know, I speak, my mom and my family is, I have to admit, Jean-Luc Oliveira, first season, tough, most amazing shit he put on. I don't care. And this guy spent money putting on these extravagant things, but the extravagant things were amazing. He was like, I want this. Okay, all right, we'll do it, you know. And we did amazing, amazing stuff. He was such a lights guy.
Well, so you were probably doing like massive, even like all white cocktails at the pool, I'm guessing, with
every day,
with champagne fountains and
he did stuff. We were like, all right. So he got us used to just like doing stuff, it's not that bad, like, because he was intense, fun, artistic, that he would go like, I don't mind if you smoke. He would tell everybody backstage, I don't mind.
Was the clientele in Sandpiper European at all, or was it just North American?
Yeah, it was all European.
Because
they would follow him. The Chiefs I had, like Mike Coltman, would follow him. So we had full packed summers. And one time they sent, well, you know how they have their 3 weeks, 4 weeks off in a summer? But instead, one company decided to send all these Parisians, not Parisians, but from France around. They were like farmers just to come to Club Med. And it was always 800 full. The thing is, They didn't want to speak any French. They go, no, I want to speak English. So we were just like, huh? Really? Yeah. They didn't want to speak French. It was weird. They were so kind. Amazing.
Wow, that's a pretty good memory. You don't hear about that too often.
So
I'm guessing, were you always an extrovert? Because, you know, when you find out you have to eat dinner with guests, did that bother you at all? Or were you shy at all?
No, because I always had stories.
Okay.
I think
on another podcast I do, we'll get to those stories, but for now.
By 22, when I went to Club Med, I was already well traveled. I have like near death stories for that.
Okay. Well, yeah. No, I want to thank you for sharing this story with us about your first season. It was quite illuminating, pun intended. See what I did there? Lighting joke.
I hear you.
You have anything to say for some geo listening who, or future geo who's not sure if he should work for Club Med? I mean, a lot of people like to make a pitch like, you know, try it, you'll like it.
Well, season. I say that you have to, actually, you do have to be extroverted. You do have to be, or maybe it's in you, you don't know it, right?
That's true.
And maybe this will bring it up because you have to push it out, you know? I think Club Med was great. Sometimes my daughters would say, well, Dad, you're such boastful. I said, no, I did things that I enjoyed. She says, you can't let everything hide.
Yeah, you have to take advantage of the moment because we all knew that eventually we're going to have to go get quote unquote real jobs, right? So
yeah,
might as well have fun while you're there.
Do it while you're young. Do it while you're young. That's it. Don't think it's going to be a career, I believe, right? That's it.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, everyone. That was Mr. Heel Kirby. And I really want to thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. I'm glad we got to do this. I was on your show. Now you're on my show. So it's full circle moment.
Yours is a little more mellow.
I know. Well, do you want to play us off with your music again, Heel?
Well,
it's up to you. If you got something handy, you can play us off.
Well, see, the only thing is, like, I bought this brand new Piccolo snare, so I needed it sound the way I wanted it. Yes. Yeah, I'm particular.
So you put it up to 11, you put it up to 11, like in Spinal Tap.
Yeah. So this is. Hold on. Hold on. Now here we go.
Okay. And now, ladies and gentlemen, was Mr. Heel Kirby. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, you can edit to the show name.
Okay.
Never mind, there was an error. Oh,
okay, no problem. We'll end on my beach music.
Oh, wait, here we go.
And that was Mr. Heel Kirby, everyone. So take care. We'll see you all.
All right, cheers. Take care. Bye.